It had been bent into a right angle. Miss Flitworth peered around him.
What happened?
I think the elliptical cam has gradually slid up the beam shaft and caught on the flange rebate, with disastrous results. Death stared defiantly at the grey watchers. One by one they began to disappear. He picked up the scythe. And now I must go, he said.
Miss Flitworth looked horrified. What, just like that?
Yes, exactly like that. I have a lot of work to do.
And I won't see you again. I mean...
Oh, yes. Soon.
He sought for the right words and gave up.
That's a promise.
Death pulled up his robe and reached into the pocket of his Bildor overall, which he was still wearing underneath.
When Mr. Simnel comes to collect the bits in the morning, he will probably be looking for this, he said, and dropped something small and beveled into her hands.
What is it?
A 3/8 Gripply.
Death walked over to his horse, and then remembered something.
And he owes me a farthing, too.
Ridcully opened one eye. People were milling around. There were lights and excitement. Lots of people were talking at once. He seemed to be sitting in a very uncomfortable pram, with some strange insects buzzing around him. He could hear the dean complaining, and there were groans that could only be coming from the bursar, and the voice of a young woman. People were being ministered to, but no one was paying him any attention. Well, if there was any ministering going on, he was damn well going to get ministered to as well. He coughed loudly.
You could try, he said to the cruel world in general, forcing some brandy between my lips.
An apparition appeared above him, holding a lamp over its head. It was a size 5 face in a size 13 skin.
It said, "Ooh,"
in a concerned way.
Oh, it's you, said Ridcully.
He tried to sit up quickly, just in case the librarian tried the kiss of life. Confused memories wobbled across his brain. He could remember a wall of clanking metal, and then pinkness, and then music. Endless music, designed to turn the living brain to cream cheese. He turned around. There was a building behind him, surrounded by crowds of people. It was squat, and clung to the ground in a strangely animal way, as if it might be possible to lift up a wing of the building and hear the pop-pop-pop of suckers letting go. Light streamed out of it, and steam curled out of its doors.
Ridcully's woken up!
More faces appeared. Ridcully thought, it's not Soul Cake Night, so they're not wearing masks. Ugh, blast. Behind them he heard the dean say, I vote we work up her petty seismic reorganizer and lob it through the door. No more problem.
No, we're too close to the city walls. We just need to drop Quandam's attractive point in the right place.
Or some jumpers incendiary surprise, perhaps.
This was the bursar's voice.
Burn it out. It's the best way.
Yeah, and what do you know about military tactics? You can't even say yo properly.
Ridcully gripped the sides of the trolley.
Would anyone mind telling me, he said, what the heck is going on?
Ludmilla pushed her way through the members of the Fresh Start Club.
You've got to stop them, Arch-Chancellor, she said. They're talking about destroying the big shop.
More nasty recollections settled on Ridcully's mind.
Good idea, he said.
But Mr. Poons is still in there.
Ridcully tried to focus on the glowing building.
What? Dead Windlepoons?
Arthur flew back when we realised he wasn't with us, and he said Windle was fighting something that had come out of the walls. We saw lots of trolleys, but they weren't bothered about us. He let us get out.
What? Dead Windlepoons? You can't magic the place to bits with one of your wizards in there. What? Dead Windlepoons?
Yes.
But he's dead, said Ridcully. Isn't he? He said he was.
Ha, said someone who had much less skin than Ridcully would have liked him to have.
That's typical. That's naked vitalism, that is. I bet they'd rescue someone in there if they happened to be alive.
But he wasn't too keen on,
Ridcully hazarded. A lot of this was beyond him, but to people like Ridcully this didn't matter for very long. Ridcully was simple-minded. This doesn't mean stupid, it just meant that he could only think properly about things if he cut away all the complicated bits around the edges. He concentrated on the single main fact.